Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to talk some more about God's news behind the news. There's so many things happening, and we just want to share what's happening with our VFN radio listeners and what we can do to be encouraged and find out more on what our role is to play. Guys, did you know that there's a new app, called Facial? It's called Face Deals, actually. It uses facial recognition to personalize your discounts.
What?
Yeah, it's a facial recognition app.
Oh, my goodness. And what does it do?
What it does is that basically it's an app that's going to tailor specific discounts to you. And
based off of what my face looks like.
Exactly.
Wow.
This is how it works. Local businesses install cameras with facial recognition technology, and automatically it checks the person in when it sees your face into Facebook. And then what it does is that it notifies you once you walk into the restaurant or the store of what the discounts are available to, based upon what you liked.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Just what we need.
Exactly. So think about it. You're walking into, I don't know, whatever restaurant, whatever you go to, Smokey, Sonny's, whatever. And here's this camera that just takes a picture of you. And you get a discount because you liked Sonny's or something on Facebook. And so this is really like, I don't know, man. This is like,
don't they have to get permission to do that?
Well, I guess they don't have to give permission if you provide it.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Oh,
you're
so the stores
absolutely
do
right
that.
Because you have to agree to it.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna say. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to agree to it. But this is where it's going to facial recognition. I know that Facebook just bought a company out of Israel, and it has to do with something face. But it's a facial recognition software. Huge thing. And it's designed to put pictures together, and so you can easily identify someone. And this is, technology is speeding up. Right. Where is this thing going? And how is this going to, how is this going to affect your rights?
You know, John, this is the same technology that's been used in law enforcement for a few years now. And I'm not sure whichever city you're listening live to in right now, the majority of the urban cities you go through, like here where we are locally, you can look into, some of the, intersections, wherever you're at, just drive through some of the intersections, and where you see the red, the green lights, look up top, and you'll see cameras.
Yep, everywhere.
And a lot of times they'll also have the cameras for anybody who's been to an amusement park. You know, you're riding on the roller coaster, you're having a good time, and all of a sudden you see those excessively fast strobe lights. You get off the ride and you come down, and just so happens that they caught your face right in that screaming picture as you're going 85 miles an hour, and they just happen to catch your face. Hey, would you want to pay $10 and get a picture of you riding the Hulk ride? They've been using that technology for a couple decades now. Well, now they've begun to implement that as far as putting it by traffic lights, where if you're driving and you don't pay a toll or you go through a red light, they get a picture of your license, and then they also get a picture of your face driving the car. And now they're using that, and they've got all your information because the DMV takes a picture of your license, right? So they've got your face. And it was the same thing when we were on campus as well, as they also have the facial recognition because they've got all the IDs now on a server, so they can put in your information, and they've got your face right there. And then now they're matching that so that people are walking into a place and it just scans you. And they've got all your information.
Wow. It's funny that you're saying that because another segment that I wanted to introduce you to was this is a technology. Technology is moving so fast. There's advances now in data storage that they're saying are having implications for how the government does surveillance.
Wow.
And Pat, you can remember this. I know you were talking about buying, terabytes and storage for for those that don't know, if you're radio listeners, your computers come with a certain, size hard drive. It's the amount of space that that your computer comes with, and you're able to, you know, download your movies, your pictures, or anything that you download too.
Right.
And before, I mean, what was? Well, remember back in the day, I mean, if you had 6 gigs in your computer, 10 gigs, you were like, "Ooh, I'm
my
rolling."
My first one had like 4 gigs.
Wow.
Let me give you the comparison. Most cameras these days, you need a minimum probably of 4 gig, you know, chip to put in to take pictures, let alone
absolutely
store your whole computer on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now they have, you know, computers that are coming out with 500 gigs and a terabyte. You know, it's like.
And for those that don't know, a terabyte is 1,000 gigs.
Right.
Needless to say, we've had a few advancements in the last few years.
So what happens is that the price has come down tremendously because you know the hard drive to store this data was really expensive.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But the prices have come down, which means that the government is able to actually get more of this stuff. You know, you were mentioning about the police. We did a story not too long ago about it's called Who's Watching You. You can find it at VFN Torch. You find it at VFNTV.com. And it's called Who's Watching You, and it has to do with the police department, the NYPD, and their partnership with Microsoft on this program that they call Domain Awareness. And it does just what you're talking about, Steve. It links the 3,000 cameras New York, 2,600 radiation detectors, and dozens of license plate readers. And it just works. And what they do is that if they see it's like someone suspicious or, you know, carrying a package into a building or whatever, it's recording you. You have no idea that it's recording you. And and this is what they're saying. Well, you know, don't worry. It's only going to last 30 days. It's like, what? 30? You know, someone could be – this is – you're looking at a Fourth Amendment compromise here.
Yeah.
You know, this is your Fourth Amendment. And we have to be aware. We have to safeguard our rights with – you know, technology is great. We can get as much technology as we want, and things can be moving at, you know, a fast speed. But all this data gathering, why do you need that much why do you need that much data? Today, we leave such a trail, electronic trail, that has never been done before. You think about emails, you think about websites, you think about text messages, your phone calls. All of that is a digital footprint everywhere you've been. And it's like, this can get into the wrong hands. They're saying now, this expert for the Brookings Institute, listen to this, this is going to blow you away. He estimates that to store audio from telephone calls made by an average person in the course of one year, okay, to store it, you'd only need 3.3 gigabytes.
I mean,
that's like a chip to put in your camera.
Yeah.
And go to the store and spend $5 and get one of those.
Yeah. One year. And guess what the cost is?
Couple cents.
17 cents.
Yeah.
Wow.
17 cents.
Wow.
Video is, you know, actually going to cost a little bit more, but you think about what surveillance was been able to do in the 1960s and what they've been able to do now just with technology. But you can't forget Hoover, who was over the FBI. I mean, you know how much data he was actually gathering off of a typewriter?
Even back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And he was 50 years ago.
Yeah, manipulating people and, you know, presidents with, you know, information that he was gathering is like, oh my gosh. And that's what that was being done without a computer, you know? Typewriters are those things, you know, for those who don't know that you, I can't even describe one. Actually, when I went to college, Steve, I didn't have a typewriter. I had a Brother word processor.
Oh my goodness.
I'm familiar with one of those.
Oh, it was like a suitcase. And I thought I had technology, man. I had a Brother, had like a three-row LCD, and all you could see was three sentences at a time, and it was green. It was green.
Yeah,
highlight. It was slick.
You know, you're talking about, John, like the difference of technology that we have in, like, you know, the military. And when I was in, it was amazing the toys that we had to be able to make our job easier, or the advancements that we had to connect with one another as far as technology, passing information, whatnot. And you go from one level as far as the technology that's available to the civilian sector, you know, being able just to go into a Best Buy or be able to go on Amazon and purchase something. And then you go from that step to the military. Now, think about that is when you go to military to, quote unquote, the intelligence sector, you get above and beyond. And then you're getting to another realm of like research and development that has not yet been released due to top secret clearance. Now, that was above my pay grade that I'm not aware of. But you think about the majority of Americans who hold an iPhone in their hand right now. You know, you go to they've got a little app where it's called Maps, where you can check out, you know, where you are right now. And in the bottom left, you can hit a button and it'll do your exact position and then give you a direction. Like, and as you move your iPhone, your little map will move. And it's just like, I paid, you know, $100. $100 to get this.
Exactly.
And it's all based off of satellites. GPS. And you think about, okay, now let me jump to the military and see what they're capable of. Now let's jump to what has not yet been released to the military. And what are they capable of doing?
Dude, Google Maps.
Yeah.
I mean, Google Maps caught me outside and cut my grass. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and they're now doing Google Maps now where they have the interior of buildings.
Yes.
And what they want to do is their goal is to be able to have the interior of every building.
Wow.
Wow. And they were talking about that where they were using some type of rendering program where you can walk, like you can walk into restaurants. Mm-hmm. The exact layout you can just walk into just like it's a virtual world, but it's a virtual perspective of the real world. And you're like, and we've talked about this before. It's like the beast economy is real. And it's just, if you want to continue to deny that, it's just like, okay, but it's at some point we need to be aware of when is too much information too much.
Yeah. Maybe time to come off the grid. And you're saying that just recently there came out that there was a website that was up and then mysteriously came back down. But you know, when you take pictures on your phone, your picture has like a longitude and a latitude of where the picture was taken. People, you know, most people don't realize they can tell exactly where that picture was taken. Oh, I wasn't there. Okay, well, let me pull up the longitude and latitude real quick. I'll tell you if you were there or not. Well, what they did with this website was they were able to put a picture in, and instead of just giving you the longitude or latitude, it was putting people's addresses up.
Yeah.
Their address. So this thing went up and it mysteriously came right back down. But you're talking about people's address. You're talking about infringement. You're talking about, wait a minute. And just so that we know, we're talking about, you know, Fourth Amendment issues here.
Yeah.
You know, the Fourth Amendment says that it protects every, you know, it protects every American. It's supposed to protect every American. It's a right of the people to be secure in their persons.
Right.
To be secure. You feel secure in their persons, houses, papers, effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, and shall not be violated. No warrant shall be issued upon probable cause supported by an oath or an affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched.
Yeah.
And the persons or things to be seized. And so it's like, you know, forget about having to come into my house to search it. You can search my life on digital. You know what I'm saying? You can search me without even knowing that without me even knowing that you're searching me. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, these are our rights. You got to know what your rights are. You can't compromise your rights for the sake of technology.
That's right.
Well,
It goes back to what you're saying as far as that facial recognition app, but it's all done under the guise of, hey, you can get a couple discounts, and someone cannot have that, I guess, bargaining power or argumentation defense saying, you know, well, you're taking away my rights. Well, it's like, well, you just gave it to us. And note to self, do not download that app, because it's just like you're giving away that ability for them to just walk right in your house or walk right in your personal information.
Well, just remember this: absolute power corrupts absolutely, and so you know some of these things are being used for good. That's no, you know, we understand that, but at the same time, you just don't want to compromise your rights and have the rights of others compromised as well. You know, another thing I want to talk with our VFN Radio listeners and with Steve, you and Pat is another. There's some more things happening. Not just we talked about the Middle East today. We talked about technology. There's so much in the news right now, and it's like of all you hearing in the news is just negative, 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 and just like fear will just creep all in. And I love VFN Radio because we try to bring God's perspective behind the news and just kind of hear what the Lord is saying and what, you know, how he would want us to respond to it. And right now, you know, the economy is something that's very fragile. Europe's economy is not doing well at all. In fact, they're saying now, there's reports that are coming out, this reported first on The Blaze, that investors are bracing for a euro collapse. They say that bank investors and companies are bracing themselves. They see that this is coming. Greece appears to be hopeless. Spain is in trouble, and they can't decide what they're going to do with these debtor nations and loaner nations, and they just can't figure this thing out. And it's just anxiety is building and building. And so what they're saying is that they're having a hard time because all of Europe seems to be a huge credit risk in the whole thing. And they're having a hard time to find other people in other parts of the world to invest in the euro. And so although the American U.S. dollar is weak, what they're doing is they're saying that that's going to be a better place to invest in the U.S. dollar, invest in the U.S. dollar. So man has the strategies of man, and they're trying to figure all this stuff out. But you said it earlier, you know, Johnny Foote said that he saw this is a beast economy that's being transitioned to. There's so many prophetic words that have been shared, and you can find all these prophetic words again on the torch. If you haven't been on the torch, you got to be on the torch.
Right.
I mean, there's
so
much available on the torch. I mean, really, you can spend hours. You have prophetic words and dreams and visions as well. Just they're all listed there. But we've seen, you know, literally dollars being sucked out of the economy. You know, God spoke to me directly and told me in six minutes in a dream that there was going to be, you know, basically all the money's going to be gone. It's going to be a collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we just take notice and that we are aware of what's happening and what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just good stuff.
Yeah.
This is just good stuff. Also, what word of wisdom, what could we share? What could we share with those in Europe? You know, if you're in Europe right now and you're living in Greece, there's great turmoil. You know what I'm saying? There's great turmoil. People are scared that the dollar is not, you know, the euro is not worth as much. And we're going to see a ripple effect that's going to hit the United States unless God intervenes. This is what we're looking at.
Right.
It's just time. You know, what I would say is, listen, begin to honor God. Begin to honor God. If there's no honor in your life, honor God and start giving him a heart of obedience. Because we're starting to see judgment fall. You know, there's a lot of people that have worship money. We worship, you know, money. Money's become a God.
Right.
And if we don't come back to honoring the Lord, we're going to see all these idols come crashing down.
Right.
You know, and the first thing I'd say is honor the Lord for sure. And then with a heart of obedience, because Isaiah says that they honored me with their lips, but their hearts were far from me. They worshiped me in vain. You know, Mark 7:7 says they worshiped me in vain and their teachings are but rules taught by men. And so it's possible to have this quote unquote religious experience, this, I don't know what you call it, religion, void of God. But it has all the trappings that make you think like you're doing something for God. But it's vain. It's useless. It's ineffectual because God's not in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And so why settle for a form? Why settle for a ritual when you can have the real thing and have a relationship? And so we're saying, let's honor God. Let's not honor money. Let's not honor the economy. Let's not worship these. Let's worship the Lord. And we don't have to fear what happens in the world's economies. We choose to participate in God's heavenly
economy.
You know? And we're not realizing, one of the things that we have to realize that when judgment is upon us, I think about King Saul. And this is like chilling to me. In 1 Samuel 15:30, we can be in danger. People could be in danger of falling into this category. I call it Saul's category here, you know,
right.
That Samuel comes up to Saul and Saul replies, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of the people and before Israel. Come back with me that I may worship the Lord your God. And it's like, Saul, do you not see something wrong with this picture? You know what I'm saying? Saul, do you not see that you are not supposed to be offering sacrifices? You sinned. You jumped ahead of what you were supposed to be doing. You stepped outside of your anointing. what God told you to do, and you sinned, and Samuel brings it to your attention, and he does a California stop. Hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I've sinned, but, and we have learned that what's but? But is a conjunction.
All right. Look out for those buts.
That nullifies everything that you said before that.
Right.
You know, so he says, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people.
Looking in the eyes of men.
Yeah. There's something hugely wrong when you can get comfortable sinning and not worrying about offending God, but yet you want God to continue to honor you in the eyes of man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? Judgment. You can't ignore when it never clicked. We cannot fall into this category.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fall into this category. And I think about Isaiah 42:25 says, so he poured out on them their burning anger, the violence of war, it enveloped them, the flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take to heart. It's like all this stuff is happening and they didn't understand. It's like, catch a clue. And I think that everything that's happening, it's God's way of getting our attention.
Yeah.
We've got to turn back to God.
Mm-hmm.
If my people, right? If my people who are called by his name. And this is what's happening in the world's economy. What about when the church is not even honoring God in the tithe and the offerings, according to George Barna's polls, that only 3% of the church is actually tithing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no honor there.
Mm.
You know, it says, if I'm your father, where's my honor, right? Where's the honor that's due to the Lord? He's given us the ability to gain wealth. And a tithe is just, it's our offering. It's our tithe is our responsibility before the Lord and offering.
Mm.
But if we are robbing God, it's one thing to rob man, okay? You know, it's one thing to rob man.
Right.
But you don't want to be in the place where you rob God. Yeah. That's not a good place. So I want to encourage you with this, to keep this in mind, that again, no matter what is happening, no matter what, we want to look back and say, God, how can we honor you? How can we turn our hearts back to you? And all we have to do, this is not rocket science. All we have to do is repent. What did Josiah? Josiah just found out. What was it? He found out.
Mm-hmm.
King Josiah just, look at here. Look at here.
Yeah, look what
God says.
Mm-hmm.
And just begin to do what God says to do.
Right.
We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.